Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today's talk is the path to the Supreme Person, and that's God, Krishna. This is the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it is called, Prabhupada calls it the Yoga of the Supreme Person. Yoga is a Sanskrit word that means to link, to yoke, to put two things together. So yoga literally means linking the soul with God. So this chapter is essentially about that. Of all the chapters, 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, this is one of the shortest. There are only two chapters that have 20 verses, and chapter 15 is one of them. I'm going to begin at text 5. Nirmama moha jitta sanga dosha adhyatmana nitya vinivritta kama dvanvar vimukta sukkaduka sangyair kachantya mudha padam avyayam tat. The translation for this verse is, one who is free from illusion, false prestige, and false association, who understands the eternal, who is done with material lust, and is freed from the duality of happiness and distress, and who knows how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attains to the eternal kingdom. Okay. So let's break this verse down a bit. These are the qualities or the characteristics or the traits that are necessary in order to become a self-realized soul, in order to realize your potential as a soul in this lifetime. Freedom from, first one, nirmama moha jitasanga dosha. Nirmana, free from, mana means respect. It means a false sense of your own importance, which extrapolates to arrogance or superiority. So it's free from the need for praise and, a pat on the back kind of thing. So what's the opposite of that? Simply put, humility. And then moha is illusion. Illusion, the fundamental illusion here is that we think that we're these bodies. And the bodies are all temporary. And the bodies die, lifetime after lifetime. So the truth is that we are eternal spirit souls. So we must be free from that illusion. Jitta sanga dosha, we have to conquer that. Jitta means to conquer. And a sangha is association. We could say, firstly, on this level, negative association, mundane association, material association. In other words, association with people who are negative, who drain your energy, who suck you dry. People who are in illusion. People whose values are all material in nature, materialistic in nature. People who are subject to illusion. In other words, they can't see through this web of illusion that we're all involved in, Maya. It's not that we can't be around such people. We can be around such people, and of course we are every day. And that's fine. Except we don't want to fall under their influence on the one hand, or on the other hand, if you get a chance, if you have an opportunity, maybe you can enlighten them and help them to see beyond that. As I did with the woman in the grocery store checkout this morning, when she told me you only have one life, I said, no, you have many, many lives, my dear. And she says, well, in that case, I want my next life to be a man. I said, well, then you focus on that. You probably get that. I didn't have time to go further than that. Then the next part is one who is done with material lust. So material desires that are determined or driven by the body. The opposite of lust is love. Love is something that causes growth and expansion for everyone, for both parties. If we're talking about a man and a woman, for example, there is lust and there's love. Very different. Lust essentially is something that is subjective, that one is trying to satisfy one's own urges, one's own desires, to the neglect of the other person or to the detriment of the other person. The other person doesn't really come into it. They're just part of it. They're the method you're using to satisfy that lust. So we have to rise above the lust. Easily done? No, my friends. Not easily done at all. The hardest thing to do is to overcome that sex drive, lust, just for our own satisfaction. Freed from the duality of happiness and distress. Sukha, dukha, samyair. Yes, we prefer to be happy than distressed or than miserable. Of course we do. But we don't always get happiness. Happiness isn't always available. Happiness and distress come and go. Shitoshna sukha dukada, as Krishna said earlier in the Gita, just like the winter and summer seasons, you must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Tangs tatiksha svabharata, learn to tolerate. Same as happiness and distress. Don't become attached to happiness. Because you may be happy and you may be celebrating something one day, and tomorrow it's just the opposite. It's not the case. So we have to maintain equilibrium and learn to just deal with the waves as they come. Steady your boat. Keep your boat steady as much as possible. And ultimately then, to surrender to supreme person. Well, we're going to get to that to attain the eternal kingdom. We're going to get to that as we go. Okay. I wanted to try to do a few verses here instead of slowing myself down. So verse 6. Very quickly, Krishna says here, this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna in this chapter, that abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or the moon, nor by electricity. One who reaches it never returns to this material world. Can you imagine? Here we have sun that illumines the day, and we have the moon which illumines the night, and the stars for that matter. And then we have fire or electricity. Pavaka is the word in the verse. Pavaka is fire. And by extrapolation, electricity. So, in the spiritual abode, as Krishna is explaining here, it's not that they don't have the sun and the moon in the spiritual abode. It's that these abodes are self-luminous. All the different planets in the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets, are all self-luminous. We have one planet in our universe that we know of for sure that is self-luminous, and that's the sun. Stars too can be self-luminous, but let's not complicate it for the time being. The sun is self-luminous. But in the spiritual world, the light or the luminosity is not dependent on the sun, because it's the spiritual world. Okay? And the next verse is text 7. This is a big one. Huge statement. Mamayvangsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashastan indriyani prakritistani karshati. Love this verse. The living entities in this conditioned or material world are my eternal fragmental parts. This is Krishna speaking. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Wow. If you understand that, my friends, you're well on your way to self-realization. So, we are eternal fragmental parts. We are Anksha. He says, Mama, Eva, Anksha. Eva, that means kind of thus, or it can mean like a, you know, underscoring what his statement is. Mama, my Anksha, part. Anksha is a part. Part and parcel of God. That's what we are as living entities. Jiva Loke. This is the Jiva Loka. Loka is a world, an abode, a place. A planet. Jiva is what we are. We are Jivanksha. We are Jivas, souls, each and every individual. All of us humans, all the plants, insects, animals, birds, we're all Jivas. Okay. Due to conditioned life, this is conditioned life here in the material world. We are conditioned by all this. We are imprinted. We are influenced. We are brainwashed, illusioned by this, by life down here. Due to this material life, conditional life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Do we struggle in this world? Friends? Oh, yes, we do. Confusion, bewilderment. Look what's all going on in the world right now, which I did discuss in some videos I did on my YouTube channel not so long ago. Predicting what was happening to our world, and riots and public demonstrations. Well, here they are. To this extent, I knew they'd be significant, but I didn't know they'd be to this extent. But here we are. That's what's happening. So yeah, we struggle here. Now, Prabhupada says in the purport, the living entity is the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life, life here in the material world, mundane life, and then in his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme Lord. When we become self-realized, when we get off the wheel of samsara, repeated birth and death, our hamster wheel, then we merge into the oneness. The Mayavadis, first of all, there are two fundamental philosophies according to Vedanta, Advaitavad and Dvaitavad. Advaita is oneness or monism. I'm God, you're God, we're all the same, and when we die, we merge into the oneness of the energy, which is the first level of God realization, which is Brahman realization. We here, we practice bhakti yoga. And bhakti yoga is the yoga of love and devotion to God. That's what we practice. Okay? And we are Dvaitists in that Dvaita means dual. There's God, and then there's the living entities. They're not exactly the same. They're of the same substance, but God is in a superior position, and we are parts and parcels of Him. We are lesser. Okay? So let's explain that. In the Mayavad approach or philosophy, they use this analogy. They say, in an empty pot is sky. Or ether, or air, or, well, beyond the air, ether or akash. That's what fills the pot. When we break the pot, that sky that's in the pot just merges into the totality of the sky. So they say that's proof positive that we are one and the same. Except it's not. That's only one level. That's the lowest level of God realization. So what we do here, it's a bit different. So as Vaishnavas, as and dualists, we want to follow, we try to follow Sanatan Dharma. We all have a Dharma, duty, obligation, occupational duty, and our fundamental nature. That's our Dharma. There is beyond every Dharma, there is a Sanatan Dharma. And Sanatan Dharma, or Bhagavad Dharma, or Vedanta, it's all kind of wrapped together. Sanatan Dharma is what? It's the eternal Dharma, or eternal obligation of everybody, which is what? Service. We're all here to serve. Serve what? Well, there's, you serve your family, you serve your children, you serve your boss, the company you work for, you serve your customers, you serve your clients, whomever. We all serve. But the highest service is serving God. That's the highest service. When you serve God, you actually indirectly serve everyone. That's how it works. And the analogies that Prabhupada has given many, many times. When you want to feed the body and nourish the body, the hands can't take the food, mash it up, and swallow it in the hand. It's not possible. The food must go into the stomach and get processed. In the stomach is the digestive fire. Vaishvanara is the digestive fire. So the hands take the food, put it in the mouth masticates the food, swallows it, and then the digestive fire begins, and it assimilates the food, digests the food, assimilates, and the rest of the body gets the benefit. The other example is if you have a tree and it has leaves and buds and fruits or flowers, we don't water each one individually. We water the root. And the entire tree is satisfied and it will grow and it will thrive. And the root of the tree is God. The root of all this creation is God. It's Krishna. So you serve Krishna, you're serving everything. That's transcendence. Okay. In the conditional life, what does that mean? We are jivas and we are illusioned by our identification with everything around us in our temporary world. Okay? And that means we are under the influence of the three modes of nature. And what are the three modes of nature? Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Sattva is the mode of goodness. Rajas is the mode of passion or desire. And Tamas is the mode of ignorance or illusion. If you are conditioned by Tamas, the mode of ignorance, then you are conditioned to envy or hate. People who are in the mode of ignorance envy everybody else. I want what he's got. Why does he have that and I don't? I'm going to go rob him and steal it from him. I just hate people like that. I hate people that have that. Why don't I have that? That's Tamas. That's the mode of ignorance. Now, that's a minority. A minority of the people are influenced by the mode of ignorance. And most of you that are sitting here listening to this are not among them. Then Rajas, mode of passion or desire, how does that condition us? That conditions us to a sense of competition. Oh, I'm going to beat this person out. I'm going to win. They're going to lose. I'm going to take that guy's job. I'm going to take over. I'm better than him. I'm superior. That's the conditioning you have in Rajas. Well, then what's the conditioning you have at the topmost mode, Sattva? Sattva is different, you know, and it has less of that, the lower states of consciousness, but still, it's tricky. And sattva is good versus bad, the dualities. Sattvic people are here to help. They want to do things that are going to make a contribution to the world around them. Good for them and good for everybody else. So they make sacrifices, or they're involved in humanitarianism, philanthropy, altruism, charity, generosity, people who work for the police, who work in, some of them are, some of them aren't there, but people who do any kind of humanitarian work. These people who have been working on the front lines during this virus, that have been working in hospitals, and such people, doctors, nurses, carers, etc. That's the mode of goodness. We're sacrificing ourselves to help others. So we realize good from bad, but you see, this is also a snare, because then you keep seeing the duality. Well, this is better than that. If you are going to become self-realized, you must transcend duality. Rich, poor, black, white, fat, thin, ugly, beautiful, good, bad, you must transcend all of it. And that's beyond the three modes of nature. Okay, we live on an earthly planet. Three worlds: heavenly planets, earthly planets, hellish planets. That's how it works. That's where this whole concept comes from. But these are all in the material world, my friends. So you can go then to the a higher planet, heavenly planet, and get the form of a demigod. And then if he is in Krishna consciousness, in God consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. Krishna Loka means Krishna's abode. So then, in order to do that, you must transcend those three modes of nature. Prabhupada says, the process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called the struggle for existence. And the verb not to use, and that was, I think, in the previous verse, Prakriti Stani Karshati. We are situated in this material nature. Material nature has karshati. We have been dragged into it. Karshati, what's the root of karshati, the verb karshati? He says struggling. It causes us to struggle, but the root is krish, which means the same root as Krishna. To attract, to draw, to compel, to magnetize. So we are being compelled or drawn into material nature. And then we create that web around us, which entangles us lifetime after lifetime. Okay? Then we will now go on to text 15. Chapter 15, text 15. Well, that's the big one, yeah? One of the big ones. Sarvasya chaham ridi sannivishto matasmritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. Great verse. Especially the first two lines. And the translation. I am seated in everyone's heart. This is Krishna. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. Firstly, Sarvasya chaham ridi sannivishto. He says, sannivishta, I am situated, completely. Vishta means situated, but or nivishta. Sannivishta means fully situated. I'm here, I'm present. Hridi, heart, my friends. In the heart. Hrid. Hridaya. Hridi means in the heart. Sarvasya. Of all. All what? Humans, plants, animals, insects, birds, all. All beings. Chara or achara. Movable or immovable. And he says, by all the Vedas am I to be known. I am as Vedanta Krit. I wrote the Vedas. I composed the Vedas. Vedavid, I am the knower of the Vedas. And by all the Vedas, I am to be known. So why do we study the Vedas? If we truly want to know our eternal constitutional position, our Sanatan Dharma, in the grand scheme of things, not just in the material creation, although it includes the material creation, and in the spiritual realm, then we read the Vedas. That's why we read the Vedas. That's why we study the Vedas. That's why the Vedas are beyond every other scripture you can find. If you want to challenge me in that, I would be happy to take that on. Because I've studied all of them. And nothing comes close to the Vedas and close to the comprehensive level of understanding that the Vedas provide. Why? Because it says right here, God himself wrote the Vedas, not man. There are sections of the Vedas that are called Smriti, which are written by advanced, realized souls, sages, saints. We also have those. But initially, the Shruti is written and spoken by God. Okay? Now, what else does he say here? From me come remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness. Wow. Well, isn't it interesting? So if knowledge and remembrance come from God, how come we've forgotten? How come we are under the illusion, under the thrall of Maya? If knowledge and remembrance come from God, because that's our decision. That was a choice we made to come down here to the material world. When you come down here, you get the wool pulled over your eyes and you are now operating in the illusion. Unless and until you wake up and you begin to penetrate or see through that illusion. That may take you thousands of lifetimes, by the way, to get to the point we're talking about right now. And if you understand pretty much what I'm saying or beyond what I'm saying, then you've reached that point. And congratulations. But we have to free ourselves completely from birth and death. So he says, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. What kind of knowledge? Well, you might say, I've got two BAs, a master's, and a PhD. I'd say, well, you have a lot of knowledge. But will the knowledge cure you of death? Will the knowledge help you overcome death? If you still buy into the fact that death is normal, and this is the reality, it is the reality here, and you're accepting that reality as, oh, that's good enough for me. Yeah, sign me up. I'll be on death row again. Well, your knowledge is not helping you, my friend. That kind of knowledge will keep you here. Okay? Forgetfulness. Well, you know, we're good at remembering faces. Some people say, well, I can always remember a face. I forgot his name, but I know that face. We can remember all kinds of stuff. I wish I could remember everything I've read, I'll tell you that. That'd be nice. So forgetfulness is there. But I think something's very interesting in this day and age, as is unique to this day and age. When I was a child, you never heard of this, what I'm about to tell you. It wasn't I never heard of it. Okay? That was 50s, 60s. Now, it's commonplace. It's prevalent. What is that? Forgetfulness. Alzheimer's. Dementia. How many people have Alzheimer's and dementia? Well, I'll give you my theory on that. God bless those people. It's even harder for their loved ones when you sit down next to your mom in her care home or wherever she is, and she takes a look at you and says, "And who are you? What do you want?" It's heartbreaking, and it is. I have not experienced it my own self, so I don't know from that point of view. But I have many friends and clients that have. If you do not know who you are during your lifetime, if you do not know that you are a soul, that you are an eternal being, that you are transcendental, part and parcel of God, is it a surprise that we then forget our identity completely by the end of our lives? Now, I know there's lots of people who do not forget. But that's what's common nowadays in dementia. I know, you can give me lots of reasons why it is, and there's medical reasons and all kinds of different reasons. I know that. But nonetheless, it's endemic to this age. I have to tell you something funny. My wife has a horse. We are in Ireland here, for those of you who are watching from other countries. Ireland is very much an equestrian country. Horses are prevalent everywhere here. They're widespread. It is a horse culture. And it is also the same in the UK, over in Britain and the rest of the countries. And so it's not unusual for... You don't have to be wealthy to have a horse in Ireland, so let me point that out. So my wife has a horse, and his name is Hanuman. She's had him now for a number of years. And several years ago, and she was using him in show jumping. And she actually won a place in the finals at the Dublin Horse Show. The Dublin Horse Show, it's very, very big here. It's an international horse show. People come from around the world to compete. And she won a spot. And she placed 8th out of 2,000 horses, she and Hanuman. Now, Hanuman is, he's a very cantankerous horse. You never know what kind of day, you know, what day it's going to be when you get to this guy, what mood he's going to be in. He's thrown her a few times. She's broken bones with him because he's thrown her off him. So he's such a contrary. So 2 days ago, literally 2 days ago, she had the animal psychic have a chat with him. Yes, friends, there are animal psychics. Yes, they can talk to animals. It is true. Some of them can. So she had a chat, this lady, with Hanuman. And he says, "I don't know what the heck I'm doing in this horse body. I don't belong in a horse body. This there has been a mistake because I was a human in my last life." That's what he was saying. "And I have no business being in a horse body and being treated like a horse in this lifetime." Thus explains all the problems she's had with our friend Hanuman. So Prabhupada will tell us here. I read it already. If you focus on cat's body or dog's body, or, you know, if you want to eat like a pig, you can have a pig body. If you want to have sex all day long, you can have a pigeon body in your next lifetime. Works much better for you. So anyway, our friend Hanuman, he got stuck in a horse body, and he doesn't like it. Okay, text 16. There are two classes of beings. Let me read the Sanskrit. Dva imau purushau loke, kshara chakshara eva cha, kshara sarvani bhutani, kutasto kshara uchete. Wonderful verse. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible, the kshara and the akshara. In the material world, every entity is fallible, this world. And fallible is kshara in Sanskrit. And in the spiritual world, every entity is infallible. Fallible means we're prone to destruction, mistake, illusion, getting it wrong, depression, confusion, bewilderment, fallible. Diseased, fallible. All those are symptoms of kshara or fallibility. In the spiritual world, every entity is infallible because these are realized souls. They are no longer under the influence of the modes of nature and under the influence of birth, death, old age, suffering, disease. Finished. In the spiritual realm, there's none of that. So why are we tolerating all this lifetime after lifetime, my friends? Why are we doing it? When will you have had enough? When is time served enough? How about now? How about this lifetime? Now, I have Baladev Vidyabhushan, who's a commentator on the Bhagavad Gita, wonderful sage, very wise man, realized soul. He translates this shloka or verse a little bit differently. This is his translation. There are two conscious beings mentioned in the Vedas. The conditioned jivas, souls, and the liberated jivas. The bound up jivas are all these living entities with destructible bodies. That's us. Our bodies are destructible. The liberated jivas are fixed with one form for all time, one body for all time. That's how it works. So, in order to have that body, the spiritual body, the siddha deha or siddha sharira. Siddha means perfected. Deha or sharira means body. The akshara, infallible beings, have their siddha deha. You too have a siddha deha, but you don't know what it is. You've forgotten. And you're going to have to peel off all this web, spider web stuff, the web that you've been wrapping yourself in for all these lifetimes in order for you to figure out what your siddhadeya is. You're going to have to get all that web business off of you. Not some of it, all of it. So, the chada or fallible, we have three different divisions to our body. The siddha deha, the perfected souls, one. It's all pure spirit. It's pure spirit. It's not like a soul and a body. No, it's one and the same thing. Okay? But it is an individual identity. It is an individuality. It's not merged. It's not lost. It's not absorbed. No. Here, our bodies are divided into three. Stula sharira. Stula means gross body. Two, sukshma sharira, which means subtle body. Stula means the elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Sukshma sharira, subtle body, is three things. What is it? Manas, mind. Buddhi, intelligence. And ahankar, ego. And then, what's animating all of this subtle and gross body? Underneath it all is the Atma, the soul. So those are three divisions. Okay, text 17. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Lord himself, who has entered into these worlds and is maintaining them. Uttama purushastvanya paramatmetyudharita yo loka trayam avishya vibhart yavyaya ishvara. So, we have the fallible beings, us in the material world. In the spiritual world, we have the infallible beings. And then above all of that is the Uttama Purusha, the Supreme Person. Paramatmit Yudharita, who is called the Paramatma. We are the Atma, the singular soul, also within the body. Sarvasit Chaham Vridhi Sannivishto. I am situated in the heart of all beings. He just said that two verses ago. Parama Atma, the Supreme Soul or Super Soul. Two souls in the body. God and you. Okay? So that's what he states there. Now, for this verse, I want to read a very short commentary, again by Baladev Vidyabhushan. His commentary is, the reason the two were delineated, kshara, akshara, is now described in this verse. There is yet another person, anya means another person who is different in conception from the two types mentioned. He is described according to the scriptures as Paramatma, Supreme Soul, the quality which makes him supreme, or Uttama, is then described. As the controller, he enters the three worlds and supports everything. How do you think all this goes on without a fundamental matrix, a support underlying it all, which we can't see? It's invisible. Isn't that something? So we have an invisible support that we can't see. That's God's external energy. Maya Prakriti, or the external mundane energy. So he enters the three worlds and supports everything. This position of supporting and protecting the universe cannot refer to us, the conditioned souls, because we cannot perform such things, my friends. How are you going to create a planet, put it into orbit, and maintain it in orbit? What's your plan for that? These people tell us they're going, oh, we're going to the moon again. You never went the first time. There's even rocket scientists and astronomical scientists who will tell you that they never went the first time. They were able to get beyond the different layers to get out far enough. They didn't. It was all an illusion. It was all fabricated. Who was the director who did that before he died? He told his story. His name escapes me now. Anyway, they're trying to chase around to other planets, which is costing a lot of money, wasting a lot of money. They could be feeding people. Why don't you take care of the problems at home first before you take your space junk out into outer space and dump it all over the place? And there's space junk in outer space dumped everywhere. All these old satellites, they're still orbiting. Yeah. Just junk. Wherever we go, we leave junk behind. Yeah? You don't believe me? Go into the ocean. It's full of junk. Go down to the beach and see all the junk. That's us. Yeah, let's go out there and spread more junk around, because that's our mentality. Okay. It cannot refer, Baladev, it cannot refer to the liberated jiva because he is devoid of interaction with the world. The liberated soul, the akshara, the infallible, is beyond whatever goes on here. Couldn't care less. Not even interested. You know, for example, when you look down at the ground sometimes when you're on a walk and you see the ants, and you see hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them, and these guys are busy. And they're carrying leaves, and they're doing this, and they're going in a line, and they're coming back, and they're chatting to each other. And would you see? Well, I was there. Well, you should go now, and, you know, whatever. And there's a lot going on there. These guys are not lazy. And even though they have a whole society, well-organized society going on, do you go home and dream about that and wonder what they're up to now? I don't think so. Because it's meaningless. It's a bunch of ants. Well, what do you think we are in relation to people on higher planets? What to speak of people who are living in the spiritual world? It's like, no, thanks. I couldn't be bothered. I couldn't. I don't want to go there. Don't even want to think about it. So then people say, well, if God created all this, why does he let this happen? What kind of God is he? Why does he let this happen? Hey, take a breath. Okay? You wanted to come here. Yeah, you. You wanted to come here. You didn't like the spiritual world. Hey, I don't like the spiritual world. Why is this guy in charge? You know, like, I want to be the Ishwara. I want to be the supreme controller. I want to control my own destiny, my own fortune, my own fate. I want to be the guy. Oh, okay, well, then let's organize that for you. We'll put you down and we'll give you a place here, kind of over there, on the other side of the tracks. Material world. And you can knock yourself out. You have self-determination. You have free will. You can do whatever you want to do. Well, if God was such a kind and merciful God, he wouldn't let this happen. You made it happen. Not him. Don't blame him for your folly, for your behavior. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, no. There's individual karma. There's collective karma. Action, reaction. Guess what you're looking at this? You're going to get a whole blast of this in 2020. We're just getting started. Watch. 2020 is going to be the year to remember, or is that the year to forget? You're going to get a whole blast of this. We created all this by our actions, by our thoughts, by our words, by our behavior, by the fact that we want to be the ones controlling everything. Well, how are we doing so far? Yeah. You can come back time and time again and make it a better place all you like, if that's what you want to do. But don't hang it on God. He gave you the freedom to do this. Yeah. So, how are you doing? Are you making a mess of it, or is it all going according to plan? Okay. Let's go on to text 18. Oh, I'm doing pretty good here. In text 18, Yasmad Kshadam Atitoham Aksharan Apichotomaha Atosmi Lokive Decha Pratita Purushottamaha. Translation. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest being, I am celebrated both in this world and in the Vedas as that supreme person. So Purushottama means supreme person. And that is the fallible beings, the infallible, and God as the person. Then in text 19, Yomam Evam Asammudho Janati Purushottamam Sa Sarvavid Bhajati Mam Sarva Bhavina Bharata. So there the translation is, whoever knows me, Krishna says, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, And how does he say Supreme Personality of Godhead? Purusha Uttamam, Purushottamam. That's what it means, literally. Whoever knows me to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, is to be understood as the knower of everything. Knower of everything. And he therefore engages himself in full devotional service, O son of Bharata. It's Arjuna. Sasarvavid bhajati mam. He bhajati mam. He worships me. Devotional service. This is bhakti yoga. The yoga of love and devotion to God. If we learn to love God by serving God, by meditating on God, by pleasing Him, by making Him your friend, and inviting Him into your life, then that is worshiping God. We're developing a consciousness of God. Just like you may meet a person and an author, a writer that you really like. You might have actors that you love, or filmmakers, or musicians, or painters, or successful people that you admire. And you think about them a lot, and perhaps you read the biography, and you buy all their albums, their recordings, that kind of thing, you know? And you invite them into your life, or you have their paintings on your wall. And this is from my buddy here, Vishnu Das, behind me. He's my godbrother, and also one of my clients. That's a brilliant painting of his, probably his best. But I just got his new one, Rasa Leela. Fabulous. But I won't be showing it to you right now. Anyway, the same thing you do with people in the world around you, or you might fall in love with somebody and you think about them all the time. Oh, I just love him. I just love her. You know, I think about her. God, put God there. Make God at least part of that so that it can expand out over time. So God will become number one. And in that way, you will transcend the modes of nature. You'll get off the wheel of samsara, repeated birth and death. That's the only way you're going to do it, my friends. And he says, I'm known in the Vedas as that supreme person. Oh, oops. No, I'm sorry. That was the previous verse. Who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting. Now, what is the word for that? Asammudho. Without doubting. No doubt. You can't have any doubts. You have to come to believe fully. Why? You can say, yeah, but I don't believe fully yet. Well, then you got to keep practicing bhakti yoga. You got to keep meditating, chanting mantra. We chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. And many, many things that we do that are connected to bhakti yoga, like reading, chanting, hearing, remembering, cooking our food, vegetarian food, offering it to God, taking the remnants, all of that. That is God consciousness. That is service. And you do it intentionally like that. It purifies you. It purifies the mind, the heart. And over time, it causes a transformation in your whole being. Believe me, it does. Don't believe me. Test it out. But you have to come to the place where there is no doubt. No doubt at all. Last verse, and then I'm going to give you a quick verse refresher and we're done. Last verse. Iti guhyattamam shastram idam uktam mayanagha etat budva buddhiman syat kritya krityascha bharata. This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures. O sinless one. Oh, see what he calls him? Anaga. O Arjuna, O sinless one. And it is disclosed now by me to you. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. And what did he just say in the last verse? Whoever understands me to be the supreme personality of Godhead without doubting is understood to be the knower of everything. Now he's saying, whoever understands this will become wise. That doesn't mean you may have a mind like an engineer. That means you will know how everything fits and how it all fits together and what has value and what doesn't have value. You'll understand the kshara and akshara, the fallible and the infallible, because you'll have realized or reached the infallible level where you belong. And his endeavors will know perfection. Here, also, your endeavors in the material world will know perfection. That's the path to the Supreme Person. So here's the refresher. Going back to the fifth verse, 15th chapter, you have to become free from illusion, false prestige. That's how he translated that mana, false prestige. We don't want any of that. We don't want to be humiliated, but we don't want to be puffed up. Think we're better than others. We're not. We're all souls. Free from illusion, false prestige, and false association. False association is, I explained it before, mundane people, materialistic people. It also means attachment to your loved ones. Well, I'm not supposed to have loved ones. Some people say, family is everything. It's not. Can you not love your family? Yeah, you can. But you can't be attached. Why? You can't be attached because you're going to die, or they're going to die. You're going to lose them. It's guaranteed. You already know it, but you don't believe it. So you can love, but you cannot be attached. I know, subtle difference. Who understands the eternal, understands the difference between kshara and akshara, who's done with material lust, rise above. And is freed from the duality of happiness and distress, steady the boat. And who knows how to surrender. How do you surrender? Ask God, just show me how, please. And he'll show you, take you by the hand. Believe me, he will. And he'll show you how. And your life will become unadulterated joy. For what reason? For no reason. Just because. It won't be about doing. It'll be about a pure state of being. Love. Thank you, my friends. I hope this has been of some value. Thank you for your kind attention. And Jai Shri Krishna. Hari Bol.